Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, gonna let you in on a little behind-the-scenes stuff here. Many years ago, we started doing a series of musical debates. You know, the Soundcheck Smackdown. The subjects were serious, but we also wanted them to be fun. So when it came to theme music for the Smackdowns, I knew the perfect song.
Soundcheck Smackdown!
God, I love that explosion. But the music, it's big and loud and stupid. And I stole the idea for it from Arrested Development. As fans of that TV series know, the final countdown by the band Europe is the cheesy theme song for the Bluth family's oldest son, Job, who is attempting to be a magician with hilariously inept results.
Well, once there was a yacht, now there is not!
All right, so how'd you do it?
Michael?
Magician never reveals his... I sunk it! I sunk the yacht! At least I think I sunk it. I mean, I blew it up and I don't see it anywhere.
Now, one of the things that made Arrested Development such a long-standing cult phenomenon is the music. These recurring sonic jokes and goofy snippets of song. Now that the series is back, so is the music, and we'll speak to the show's composer in just a moment. But we also have live music. The timeless sounds of classic soul and R&B from British singer and guitarist James Hunter's band. And a debate, though not quite a soundcheck smackdown, about this new trend of throwing hashtags into song titles and even album names. So all of that's coming up. But first... This is the story of a TV show that was abruptly canceled, and the fans who kept it together until it could be brought back. And the man who provided the music for the whole thing. It's Arrested Development, and he's David Schwartz. David joins us on the line. David, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hello, John. How you doing?
Good. So music is like a constant presence in this show, often in ways that are noticeable and even more often in ways that are more subliminal. How much music are you actually doing for each episode?
It's even hard to estimate. Very often the amount of... Well, we'll have a spotting session with Mitch and with our fabulous music editor, Jason Trago Newman.
Mitch being Mitch Hurwitz, the creator.
Mitch Hurwitz, yes, the creator and all-around genius of the show. And it'll be 50 to 80 cues very often.
50 to 80 for each half-hour episode.
Yeah, yeah. Now, all of those won't, certainly now in the fourth season, we'll go back to favorites, too.
Right.
But... I'm usually writing upwards of 30 pieces per week for it.
And how does that compare to other TV shows?
This is much more.
Yeah.
But much more fun, too. It really is unique. I've never done anything that's quite like Arrested. Music is everywhere, but yet it works. Because it's always... The type of music we do changes all the time. So it's not like one constant thing
right.
That's running through.
Well, here's a bit of the opening scene from the first episode of the new season of Arrested Development, released on Netflix all at once. Now, while this is playing, try to listen to David Schwartz's music behind the dialogue.
It was May 4th, and in the bayside town of Newport Beach, the annual celebration known as Cinco de Cuatro was underway. The holiday started as a particularly vicious response by a young Lucille Bluth to the Mexican holiday...
Still isn't made?
...of Cinco de Mayo.
No, Rosa! Why is this still a mess?
She said it's Cinco de Mayo. She's taken a day off.
She said that?
Yeah.
She called it Cinco de Mayo?
She did, yeah.
Oh, why can't they just call it May 5th? This is what I was talking about. It's all part of the Mexican
War
on May 5th.
I know, yeah.
Should start our own holiday.
You see, the Hispanics of Newport liked Cinco a lot. But high up on Coast Highway, Lucille Bluth did not.
Doesn't look like they'll be done anytime soon.
And then Lucille had a horrible thought. A thought that was thoughtless and better to not. What if, she thought, with a sneering grin.
Next year, what if the party didn't even begin?
So, there's an obvious throwback to how the Grinch stole Christmas there at the end of that.
Yeah.
How many different musical cues, David, did you write for that scene?
Well, what's left in there, I think, is about four or five. And there was a lot of discussion, of course. We were all coming back to the show after 6 years, and, you know, everything was sort of considered and reconsidered there. And at first, I can't even remember what was supposed to be there. It was something that was very different. And then I didn't think it was working, and Mitchell Hurwitz called me a few days into my process and said, you know, it's got to be swing. That's what we always go with. Let's have a new sort of minor swing tune for the beginning of the show. And I said, great, I wrote one for the end of the show. I think it'll work great in there.
When you say swing, so he means like, you know, the old style, the mid-20th century style of music?
Right. I mean, a lot of the music, if there is one constant always besides the ukulele, it's sort of our homage to 30s and 40s swing, Duke
right.
Ellington, Django Reinhardt, that kind of style. And the fact that we always add ukulele sort of makes it sound like Arrested. You know, sometimes the ukuleles will take the melody itself, but they're often strumming, you know, being a rhythm instrument in there too.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, this season has been a lot more minor in our swing tunes and other things than major.
Now, what about the theme song? I mean, that really revolves ultimately around the sound of the ukulele. You're on the phone with us from Hawaii, and the story is you found this at another island even further into the Pacific, right?
Yes, in Bora Bora. But I'd like to make it clear that, you know, 99% of the time I'm in my studio working 14 hours a day. And I'm pretty lucky when it stops that I get to go someplace. And this was at the very beginning of Arrested Development. I think we started in 2003. And wait, it's pouring in Hawaii here. Let me.
I thought maybe you had just turned a fan on or something. Is that rain?
I just closed all the window, and it's just something we haven't seen all week here—a downstorm. Anyway, yes.
So
in 2003. I had just come back with my wife from Bora Bora, and when I was there, I walked into the first night into the lounge by our hotel, and I heard this absolutely crazy sound, and I looked up, and I couldn't figure it out at first, and I saw that there were two ukuleles and a guitar on stage, a baritone ukulele, which I'm very familiar with, and this sort of high string thing that sounded like a cross between a ukulele and a banjo.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked the large Polynesian man, who spoke a little bit of French, and I speak a tiny bit, and he spoke a little bit of English, if he could get me one of these fantastic ukuleles. And every night he'd come back and say, well, you know, I really tried, but the guy was fishing, you know, and that kind of thing. And then finally, on the last day, he insisted that he'd take me to the luthier's home in Bora Bora, and we drove in his car around the island, and I got the ukulele that became the sound of Arrested Development. And then I wrote the theme around that, and Mitch kept on wanting me to add more things to the theme, and my musical sensibilities, no, we should make this more sparse. It's too crazy. But he won. And I agree with him. He's absolutely right, as he always is. And so we kept on adding it, and finally I think the last thing to go on was the whistle.
The whistling, yeah.
James McVeigh whistling. And then this season, sort of just as fun, every episode adds another instrument.
Now the story of a family whose future was abruptly canceled, and the one son who had no choice but to keep himself together. It's George Michael's Arrested Development.
So that's one of the openings of one of the 15 new episodes of Arrested Development, all released en masse via Netflix. David Schwartz, the composer for Arrested Development. So what makes this? I mean, obviously, everything about this season is different. Lots of binge watching going on because all 15 were released at once.
Right.
Weight of expectations. Aside from those obvious things, what is different about this season for you as the show's composer?
A lot's the same, but a lot is really different. The episodes are much longer.
Mm.
They average over 30 minutes, maybe over 35. And, you know, network television, we get 21 minutes. So, you know, you're sort of expecting an end at 21 minutes, and yet we're in the third act there. So they're longer. It allowed for a lot longer pieces of music, which is really fun. And every episode is really connected, with many of them sharing the same scene from a different angle and from a different character's perspective.
And does the music follow that?
Well, sometimes it would, and then in the final stages we'd be going like, well, are people going to think they're watching episode 5 when we're in episode 7? So then we'd change it to something different there. So sometimes we'd want it to be the same music, and sometimes we'd want it to be different. And well, that was really, you know, Mitch's call in the end.
That actually leads me to a question that comes to us from one of our Twitter followers on Soundcheck. Lex Curry asks, what's the process of using foreshadowing in Arrested Development's music?
That's a good question. I don't think we foreshadowed that much, not as much as other shows where they really want you we want you to know it's scary here.
Right.
Mitch Hurwitz's concern is always that it's going to be too obvious, not that it's going to be too hard to discern what's going on. And I'm trying to think of examples. I'm sure there have been examples where we foreshadowed, where something that, you know.
What about something like, is it Mr. F?
Mr. F.
Mr. F. God, the history of that is so long, it's hard for me to remember. But yeah, we started building into this Mr. F thing. That was going to be a big reveal towards the end of the season.
Was that season 3?
I think that sounds right to me. Yeah.
Where they're in wee Britain, this kind
wee Britain.
this tiny little English suburb in California, and you have distilled decades worth of James Bond theme music into like this little 10-second thing.
And probably had 10 seconds to write it at the time. I mean, that's the unique and I think the best part and also the hardest part about, you know, scoring for television is it just goes by so fast that, you know, you go with your first thought and hopefully that's going to work.
We're speaking with David Schwartz, the composer for Arrested Development. In addition, David, to your music, there are recurring musical jokes of sorts. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's Job, the son who fancies himself
countdown,
a great,
yeah.
Right, the final countdown. And then at various points, including in the new season, when someone has something really sad happen to them, you've got that sad bit of Charlie Brown Christmas music.
Right.
Who chose that?
That's a Mitch thing, I believe, or it came out of the writer's room. If not Mitch, one of the other writers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I recorded it, but it's obviously the classic Vince Guaraldi, Charlie Brown.
Now, when you say you recorded the Charlie Brown Christmas music, you mean that's you at the piano playing it?
It's me at the bass playing it. I think it was Jeff Babko and Peter Erskine playing the piano and drums, respectively.
Okay, so recreating Vince Guaraldi's trio from the old Charlie Brown animated special. This is a musical joke that appears several times over several seasons of Arrested Development. And in the first of the new episodes, Michael, played by Jason Bateman, has just been voted out of his son's college dorm room where he has been living.
Michael did the only thing he could think of that would save face.
And at that point, we see Jason Bateman, head hanging low as he shuffles off down the hallway. There's also that little Bollywood musical cue, which recurs as well. And that's new to this season, isn't it?
I think so. We might have done something like that. You know, so much music has gone by, but I remember that Mitch pitched that because you see Jason sort of going into this sort of prayer pose there. And he said it would be really funny if something like this happened. And what Mitch Hurwitz sang was very, very close to the final thing, which was what I used was a sample that I had from a sample library. I did not. There are other times in this season where I have hired Indian singers, and then we have, the Charlie Brown theme, which only lasts a few bars, but is so evocative it just makes its point and gets laughs at the same time.
Right. Now, then there are other things that you have to come up with. There are things that the characters would be singing or hearing themselves. So Tobias gets himself involved in this whole Fantastic Four thing where it starts as, you know, take your picture on the street with the thing and But it evolves into a Fantastic Four musical, which you not only have to write the music for it, it has to be bad.
Which is, I think, every composer's nightmare. Because very few of us find bad music to be funny. And I think what we came up with when we talked about, first of all, this was done in 1 or 2 days' notice, and I wrote the musical mostly with Gabriel Mann, who's a fantastic singer-songwriter out in L.A., and a composer. The idea was that we, you know, there's this sort of Justin Bieber character who's in the halfway house, and he's writing the music, but he seems he can only write one tune. So the idea was all these shows in this semi-modern Broadway musical would have the same track beneath it, you know, and almost the same melody where we could make it work, and that would be the funniness. And they were all written longer than what you hear, and they were all composed, you know, while that episode was being shot, sometimes on the day that those scenes were happening. So there was a lot of back and forth very quickly, and you know, I remember it was crazy because it was way before I started. Suddenly, has anyone told you about the musical kind of thing? You know? And we went into action.
And at any point, did you and Gabriel look at each other and say, boy, this is really bad?
Oh, constantly. I was very pleased with the final medley at the end where it all comes together, which was sort of like a shock, which would have been easier had we planned that from the beginning.
Well, this is how that music plays out at the end of one of the new episodes of Arrested Development.
After weeks of rehearsal, it becomes clear that the unauthorized Fantastic Four musical does not look like it's going to Broadway. But since they worked so hard, we're going to run credits over it.
I love the count up: Fantastic Two, Fantastic Three, Fantastic Four.
Yeah, that was a breakthrough moment.
David Schwartz is the composer for the TV series Arrested Development, and in the past did yeoman work for Northern Exposure. I like that music quite a lot. Deadwood, The Ellen Show, and of course the new series of Arrested Development episodes. As you look back over what is now 4 seasons. I mean, what are the moments that you're proudest of? Are they little hidden things? Are they some of the songs, the yellow joints and balls in the air that get thrown in?
Oh, we just had so much fun. Songs, I will say, are a particular favorite. All those balls in the air. I think that just happened early on. Maybe even in the first episode, we wrote a couple of songs, and that doesn't happen much in television. You know, they usually want some hit of the week, and Mitch didn't want to date the show that way. And he said, well, what if we wrote a song and it would be like this and some really funny concept? We could have so much fun with that. And of course, you know, if you're composing, producing, and recording and delivering 2 extra songs to a whole score, it's a lot of extra work. And it would always happen late at night because I would, you know, for a song, I usually have a co-writer and a collaborator, so that way I could score until I was almost, you know, too exhausted to go any further, and then someone would come in and give a burst of energy, and we'd go a few more hours, and I'd get the song done.
Mm-hmm. For music fans, part of the fun is identifying who you're parodying. Like, you know, Yellow Joint is clearly a parody of Alice's Restaurant, the Arlo Guthrie tune, at least for the first part of it. It turns into this, like, hardcore punk thing briefly at the very end.
Right. What if there was a modern punk version of it? Yeah, that was a very, very, probably too clear parody there.
So, David, what was the original intent of the show's music? What role do you think it plays on the program?
I think something that we spoke about early when we were doing the show was that, you know, Mitch had come from multicam comedies, you know, 4-camera comedies. And the single-camera comedy is different and that it usually doesn't have a laugh track. Mm-hmm. And I think music really replaced that constant laugh track in a lot of ways, just to let you know we're having fun, not so much commenting and saying, oh, this is funny, you know, bring out the trombones. And that's not a slur at trombones. I use them all the time. But
and in the wake of this fourth season of Arrested Development, there's a talk of a movie. Are you likely to be scoring that as well?
Oh, I can say as much as anything could be counted on in TV, I will be scoring it if the movie does happen. And I don't think anyone's positive, but everyone wants to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of how the fourth season came about. So I'm hoping the same will happen with the movie.
All right. Well, David Schwartz, composer for Arrested Development, it's been, you'll pardon the pun, perhaps an unsung but really important part of the success of the show. And glad to have you back with the new season. Thanks so much for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you so much. It's great talking to you, and I hope we get to meet at some point.
All right. David Schwartz with us on the line from Hawaii, the new season of Arrested Development. All 15 episodes available now on Netflix. This is Soundcheck. Get your tickets today for our next live event in the Green Space. On Wednesday, June 12th, I'll be joined on stage by comedian Tig Notaro, composer Jeff Richmond, and this group, Robert Randolph and the Family Band. That's June 12th at 7 p.m., live with Tig Notaro, Jeff Richmond, and Robert Randolph and the Family Band. Get your tickets today at thegreenspace.org. Coming up, Twitter has already changed the way we share music with one another, but now it's showing up in song titles. The rise of the hashtag song next. And later, a performance that sounds like it could have been recorded in a tweet-free universe. It's the classic soul of the James Hunter Six. This is Soundcheck.